Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This deception will be worse than the first. This leadership group of the Jews, they're worried about three things. They're worried about what Jesus said. They're worried about the tomb not being secure. And they're worried about these disciples. They knew the claim of Jesus's, that he would destroy the temple and it would be rebuilt after 3 days. And they knew that he was talking about himself, that he would die and come back to life. But even though they knew about him, they didn't follow him. They were more worried that he would deceive people, that he would continue to deceive people into thinking that he was the Son of God. And so they had to have this tomb secured, because those disciples of his, well, they were an unruly lot. Simon was a zealot. He was an aggressive warrior. These were tradesmen and fishermen. You can't trust these kinds of men. You know, nobody would be surprised if they were to steal the body and spread rumors that he was really alive. So, verse 65, take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised by the leader's response here, but I still am. That these leaders knew Jesus' words. They knew his claim that he would die and be raised. They didn't even think it was worth testing to see if he really was the Messiah. They were more worried about themselves. They had heard his words, and yet they were more worried about themselves and the body being stolen. At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, this is a pretty awesome image. The two Marys have gone to say goodbye to their friend. And as they get there, when it is dawn, not quite light yet, there's a violent earthquake and the angel of the Lord appears. He rolls back the stone and he sits on it. It reminds me of Jesus in the temple earlier in the Gospels, where he reads the scroll of Isaiah and he hands it away and he sits down to teach. Because in those days, the person teaching would sit down and everybody else would be standing up. Any chance you guys want to go back to that? Because I'll happily sit. No? Okay. Fine, we'll stay as we are. So the angel appears, he rolls away the stone and he sits on this stone. He has a message to give. But before Matthew gets to that, he describes the angel. Usually they're described as bright white, and so again here, snow white. But his appearance is like lightning. I can't even imagine how someone's appearance could look like lightning. It's so striking. And the guards seeing this are terrified. They fall down like dead men, but they're still aware enough of what's going on that they're going to report it to the elders later. And the angel gives his message, verse 5, have a look. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You can understand these women would have been pretty terrified. The guards, well, they're not much help, they're on the ground. But these women are coming to farewell their friend, their Messiah and King. Out of a place of grief and loss, they're confronted with an earthquake, a giant boulder being rolled away, and a lightning-faced, snow-white angel. Now, it's pretty common for angels to start with, don't be afraid. But here, the reason why the two angels aren't to be afraid is it's because Jesus, the one who was crucified, he is alive. He is not dead. And the angel points to the words of Jesus, the ones that the chief priests knew, and he says, he has risen just like he said. He calls the Marys, come and have a look. Have a look at the spot. You saw him put in there on the Friday night, and he is not there. He is not dead. He is alive. And the angel continues, verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Afraid yet filled with joy. Could it possibly be true that Jesus really was alive? Could their darkest hour of grief be lifted? Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. The angel said, go to Galilee and you will see him. And yet here Jesus is, appearing suddenly, a little bit early. And it doesn't explain why, but I can't help but think that Jesus appears early because he is a compassionate Savior. He saw that these two Marys were torn between fear and joy, and he wants to put their fear aside. And so he says, don't be afraid. Resurrection from the dead is here. I am alive. Tell my brothers, be the first evangelists. Out of the midst of pain and grief and loss, their Messiah, their King, their friend, who had been brutally murdered, is alive. The shame of being identified with one hung on a tree has been lifted. Joy has come out of the depths of pain. As the sun is rising on that Easter Sunday, the sun has risen from the grave. Fear has turned to faith, grief to joy, depression to hope. This is more than the underdog winning an unlikely victory. This is better than a nation stopping a war. This is better than a world crisis being averted last minute. This is the destination of every person, death being defeated in one act. This is the pain and loss and grief of death being rolled away like that stone. Grief is being replaced with a joy that reaches deep down to the soul. It heals our anxiety about the future. It calms our fear of death and restores our eyes to the God who loves. Do you have this joy that Jesus' resurrection provides? Or are you worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in 10 years? Do you know what's going to happen when you die? Or does the idea of death bring you anxiety and worry and fear? We can have joy knowing that Jesus is the first one that has been raised from the dead. And we too will follow him in the resurrection if we follow him in this life. I'm not sure how you're feeling right now. I'm not sure if you describe yourself as joyful. Maybe you're only joyful because you don't have to go to work or uni or school tomorrow. There's a public holiday. Maybe even knowing Christ for many years, you don't feel particularly joyful. If you know where you are going when you die, it is a blessed certainty that no matter what happens, your future is set in stone. Many years ago, when I first got married, I used to ride a motorbike. Alyssa, my good wife, would always be worried about me. The whole danger of being knocked over on a motorbike, being killed one day and her never knowing about it. And I would flippantly joke, don't worry, darling. God is going to take me when he wants me. Who are you to say no to God? Now, this is not the most reassuring thing to say to my good wife, but there is a rightness to my sentiment. Full confidence in my eternal destination. Where does your confidence in the future lie? Matthew has taken us from the elders and the guards through the garden, seeing the resurrected Jesus. And now we go back to finish the story of the elders and the guards. Have a look with me, verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And so the women, they leave the tomb, and that's when they're confronted with Jesus. And the guards, they head off at this point too. They've seen the angel. They've seen the stone rolled away. They've seen the empty tomb. It's likely they heard the angel's words. And so they go to the chief priests, verse 12. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. They hear that the angel has said that Jesus has been raised from the dead. They hear that the tomb is empty. They've heard Jesus' words that he would be raised, and now they have the testimony that an angel has been there and Jesus' body is not there. And what is their response? Obedience and joy like the two Marys? No. They devise a plan. They plot to deceive and lie and bribe. They bribe the guards. They come up with a fake story for the guards to tell. I still can't believe this part. I've been preaching this all day. I can't get over this part. The soldiers are to say that they fell asleep and Jesus' body was stolen. What kind of useless guard can say this? It is your job. You had one job, to stay awake, make sure nobody takes that body, and yet you fell asleep. I hope these guards were given a lot of money, because surely they're never going to get a job again. Surely their testimony is worthless. You want me to believe you that a body was stolen because you fell asleep? Well, you failed in your job. Surely I can't listen to you. The leadership group were faced with a difficult situation, and they turned to deceptive, sinful practices to try and make things go their way. Unfortunately, we are not that different. Sin, deception, lies, attempted cover-ups, poor decisions, lack of leadership, shame and embarrassment. I think these things can easily describe what happens in our own lives, maybe just not on an international scale. The only difference between these leaders and us is that we have an opportunity to hear the testimony of the guards, to hear the testimony of these two Marys, and act in a different way. We can try to cover up or pretend that the truth is not real, or we can have the life-changing joy that only comes from believing that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that all who follow him will be raised to life too. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you did not leave Jesus in that tomb. Thank you, Lord, that you raised him from the dead, and that people saw him, and that we have heard their witness tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you that the joy that comes from knowing that we have an eternal destination with you, Lord. Father, help us not to fear death, even though it is a terrible thing, Lord. Father, help us to know where our eternal destination is and keep our eyes fixed upon you, Lord. This we ask in your Son's name for your glory. Amen.